what I expect will be last year for this mitzvah. Mitzvah Yud, still in the matzah mitzvah, but the issue of mitzvahs tzvichas kavana, which is a classic, as you know, as topics go, it's certainly a favorite for shiurim, so much so that the Minchas Chinuch really comments on it in shorthand and doesn't go into great length because, yeah, you've been there and done that. But I found a few things that I hadn't seen before in the issue that I thought were particularly interesting, and I thought we would go through it. The basic sugya of mitzvahs tzvichas kavana, or ein tzvichas kavana, requires an understanding of the Gemara in the last parak of Rosh Hashanah, which I bring you a significant chunk of right here on your sheet in Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. The main sugya is here in Aleph. It takes us from Rosh Hashanah Daf Chav Ches Amid Aleph through Rosh Hashanah Daf Chav Tes Amid Aleph. Shalchu Leil Avua Di Shmuel. They send the question to Shmuel's father. Kefa'o V'Ochal Matzah Yatsa. You force somebody to eat matzah, indicating he's eating matzah against his will, which is an important point. We're going to come back to that later. Negative kavana, right? There's kavana to fulfill a mitzvah, there's neutral kavana, and then there's negative, I don't want to do this. So the sound of things right now is that he was compelled to eat matzah. Yatsa, he still fulfilled his mitzvah. So kfo man, who was it who got forced to, who was it who did the forcing? If you'll tell me that he was possessed by some kind of a demon, some kind of a force, then I don't understand. Vatanya, I have a brisa that says, itim chalim, itim shote. If a person is sometimes healthy and sometimes incompetent, when he is healthy, he is considered to be fully functional, obligated in mitzvahs, fulfills mitzvahs, and so on. Kishu shote, but when he's a shote, haray yu kishote l'chol devarav, then he's a shote for all intents and purposes. And this fellow who is acting in some manner that we're interpreting as seeing as possession, he's a shote. So what do you mean he fulfilled the mitzvah? There's no fulfillment of a mitzvah. He's not obligated. So Ravashi shekaf uhu parsiim. So Ravashi explained it's talking about where he was compelled by bandits, Persians, non-Jews, who grabbed him and said, we're going to make you eat matzah. This is a new thing that Chabad tried. It didn't work out, so they went with the shaliach route instead. This is before they went shlichim. They said, okay, well, we'll grab you and have you eat the matzah. The Amar Rava. Rava says, Zos Omeres. He says, oh, well, based on that, then I can extrapolate and say, Hatzakeya Lashir Yatzah. If you blow shofar, because you like the musical sound of it, you also fulfilled your obligation. Because the guy who was eating matzah wasn't trying to do a mitzvah and it counted, so the guy who's blowing shofar for music also was not trying to do a mitzvah, and yet it counts. So the Gemara says, Pshita, well, that's obvious. What's the novelty here? Hainuach, it's the same as the guy who's eating matzah without trying to do a mitzvah. Mahu disema hasam echol matzah amar rachmana v'ha akal. I would have made a distinction and said, regarding matzah, the Torah never introduces the mind at all. The Torah says it's a physical act called eating. You do that, you fulfilled your mitzvah. It doesn't matter what my reason for doing it was, whether it was that somebody held me at gunpoint, or whether it was somebody put it in my mouth, or whatever, I did the physical act. Whereas when it comes to shofar, there is an intellectual component introduced. It's a zichron, to remember. So therefore, I would say, if you're blowing shofar and not trying to do the mitzvah, you aren't yotzei. So Rava says, that's the chiddush, that's the novelty. Alma kasava Rava. Well, from the fact that Rava says that it works when you blow shofar, even if you're just blowing it musically, that means Rava believes mitzvos ein tzvichos kavana. Right? Mitzvahs do not require intent. So the Gemara now challenges Rava with three questions. Question number one. Esve. Hayakari b'Torah v'higia zman ha-mikra. You're learning Torah, and the time comes to read Shema, and you happen to be in Parshas Veschanon. Im kivein libo yatsa, v'im lav lo yatsa. It only works as your kriya Shema if you have intent. So my lav kivein libo latzeis. Doesn't that mean he intended to fulfill the mitzvah, and it only works because he intended to fulfill the mitzvah, and therefore blowing shofar without intent for the mitzvah should not work? Everyone with me? So the Gemara says, "Lo, likros." It's talking about where he had intent to read. So the Gemara says, "What? Likros? Hakakari? What do you mean? He is reading. That was our case." Bikare Lahagia. That's talking about where he was reading it to edit the text, and therefore he wouldn't have necessarily been careful to read every letter out loud. So the kavana we require is just to perform the physical action of reading. It's not about the mitzvah. Rava's position stands. That was challenge number one. And that challenge is going to matter a great deal. Remember the substance of the challenge. Challenge number two. Tashma, haya over achori beis haknesses. You're traveling behind the shul. Oshaya beiso samoch lebeis haknesses. Or your house is right next to the shul. Vishama kol shofar or kol megillah. You hear the shofar, you hear megillah. In kiven libo yatsa vim lav lo yatsa. You only are yotze if you have kavana. So once again, that would seem to defeat Rava's statement that I don't need kavana. My lav in kiven libo latzes. Isn't that we require you have kavana to fulfill the mitzvah? Lo, not necessarily. Lishmoa. It's talking about where you just need kavana to make sure you actually listen, that you actually hear the words. That's all it is. You know, they don't wander around the house and end up missing some of the words. So he's a lishmoa v'ashama. What do you mean? Well, the case we gave was where you do hear it. Savor chamor ba'almahu. No, because he just thinks it's a donkey. He doesn't actually know that it's even a shofar blast. So you have to have kavana to listen, not necessarily to fulfill the mitzvah. So I can still preserve Rava. Tashma, Esve, challenge number three. Niskaven shomea v'lo niskaven mashmia. Someone's blowing shofar, and he intends it for the mitzvah. The listener intends it for the mitzvah. The mashmia does not. The person who's blowing shofar does not. Or mashmia v'lo niskaven shomea. Or the person who's blowing intends it, but the person who is listening does not intend it. Lo yotza ad shiskaven shomea umashmia. So you are a yotze unless you have kavana from the blower and the listener. End of quote. So again, bishlam niskaven mashmia v'lo niskaven shomea. I get it if the listener isn't paying attention, kasavar chamor ba'almu, because he just thinks it's a donkey. He doesn't even know it's a shofar. But if you're talking about where the listener has kavana and the blower does not have kavana, how could that be? What does that mean? He knows it's not a donkey. He's blowing the shofar. Lav b'tokeya l'shir. Isn't it talking about blowing musically? And yet you require kavana? Proof that Rav is incorrect? No. Dilma de kaman b'chnavuche. Maybe it's where he's just making random sounds. He's just blowing sounds out of the shofar. Amalei Abaye, so Abaye challenges that. What about the issue of a person who sleeps in the sukkah on the eighth day of Sukkot, and that's a Baal Tosef issue, so you should get Malkos if you're going to tell me Kavanah doesn't matter. The answer is no, because it's not Baal Tosef unless it's on time. That part we don't really need for our discussion right now. Next paragraph, still in Aleph. I'm sorry to go through so much of this sugya with you, but without it, the rest of it is unintelligible. The Amar Le Rabbi Zera, I make no promises about what it is with it, but without it, we'd be lost for sure. Amar Le Rabbi Zera Lashame. Rabbi Zera is going to be the antagonist to Rava. Rava said mitzvahs do not need kavana. Rabbi Zera seems to say they do. Amar Le Rabbi Zera Lashame. Rabbi Zera says to his servant, Ichven utkali, focus, concentrate, and blow shofar for me. So Alma Kasavar Mashmiya Bodhi Kavana. That indicates that the person blowing shofar has to have kavana, right? Mesve, and we challenge that using our guy outside a shul case. We require the kavana of the listener, but not of the blower. What good does it do for him to have kavana as a listener? The person who's blowing it doesn't have kavana. When she answers, So the Gemara's answer is, Hacha b'shliach tzibur askinan, d'daitei akulei alma. It's the chazan blowing shofar. He assumes anybody who's listening is doing this to fulfill a mitzvah, and he has that person in mind. So challenge number one is erased. Tashma, challenge number two. Niskaven shomeya v'lo niskaven mashmiya, niskaven mashmiya v'lo niskaven shomeya. If one of the parties is not in focusing, lo yatsa shiskaven shomeya u'mashmiya. You require kavana from both the listener and the blower. Katani, so it said, Mashmiya Dumya de Shomeya, the blower like the listener, Mashomeya Shomeya Latsmo, Af Mashmiya Mashmiya Latsmo, Ukatani Lo Yatsa. He says, I don't understand. The listener, the kavana is about himself, right? So then the blower, the kavana is about himself, not about anybody else. And yet you fulfill your obligation. But Rabbi Zera, you said we need kavana. So his answer is Tanoihi. It's a machlokes Tanoim, in fact. The Sanya, as the Brisa says, this is key. Shomea Shomea Latzmo, Umashmiya Mashmiya Lefi Darko. Om Rabbi Yossi, Bamedvar Mamurim, Beshliach Tzibur. Avol Beyachad Lo Yatza Ad Shiskavin Shomea Umashmiya. Rabbi Yossi says, you require that it either be a chazan, so he has everybody in mind, or that the Mashmiya has in mind everybody. So the upshot is machlokes Rava and Rabbi Zera. Everybody's sort of clear on this? Okay. We're going to keep coming back to this Gemara. It's important. But before we can do that, and before we can get anywhere, we have to see a second sugya. You see the Mishnah that's here on source base. V'amis asek lo yatsa. We quoted it already. Someone who blows shofar as a misasek, meaning, for our purpose, he's not trying to blow shofar. He happens to be blowing a shofar, but that's not what he's attempting to do. It's certainly not a mitzvah. That's not what he's doing. Lo yatsa. And also, if you hear it from him, you're not yotze. So the Gemara says in source Gimel, "Vamisasek lo yatsa hatokeya l'shir yatsa," indicating that somebody who is blowing shofar for musical purposes, so he's trying to get these sounds out, is yotze. That's like Rava against Rabbi Zera. So lema Messiah lela Rava. Did that support Rava? Dama Rava tokeya l'shir yatsa? Not necessarily. Maybe we call blowing for music like misasek. That's no good. We said that if you hear him, you're not yotze. Well, then you're telling me I'm not yotze if I hear it from a misasek. That means that if I hear it from someone who is trying to blow shofar, just not for me, then what will be the law? Yotze, I did fulfill my obligation, even though he didn't have me in mind. That supports Rava. Does that erase Rabbi Zera? Because Rabbi Zera told his servant, have me in mind and blow shofar? No. The word misasek may be non-specific. It was just being used because we used the word misasek in that source. But maybe the truth of the matter is that it's not just if you hear from the misasek that you're not yotze, but also if you hear from someone who's blowing for himself, you're also not yotze. Okay. Good. All of this is background. What do the poskim do here? So the first interesting approach comes from the Ran. Unfortunately, at the time I was putting together the source sheet, the internet access was down, so I couldn't bring you the Ran. I wasn't gonna retype it. I'm sorry. But the Ran actually argues that some argue that there is no machlokes Rava and Rabbi Zera. That in fact they agree. Rabbi Zera only requires kavana specifically for the physical act of blowing a shofar, not kavana for the sake of the mitzvah. When he says to the servant, "Is echave nutzkali," he just means try to blow shofar, as opposed to the misasek, pure misasek, who isn't even trying to blow shofar blasts. That's some suggest, and some even see that wording in the Rif. Rashi clearly doesn't believe that, the Beis Yosef points out. If you take a look at Rashi in Source Dalet, on Rabbi Zera's statement, Ichven utkali, have kavana and blow for me, tiskaven litkoa bishmi, have in mind to blow shofar in my name, lotziani yidecho vasi, to fulfill my obligation. So as Rashi understands it, Rabbi Zera is saying to him, have kavana for the mitzvah. It's not just have kavana to make the sounds. But still an interesting idea. Most in practice hold that we need kavana, like the position of Rabbi Zera as it appears straight without this Ran's idea. The Rif only quotes Rabbi Zera on this Gemara. He doesn't quote Rava, and the Rush explains why. Take a look at source Hey. The Rush says Rav Alfa Zalo Hevi Divrei Rava, meaning Rava Elorak Divrei Rabbi Zera. Rav Alfa, the Rif, only quoted Rabbi Zera. Why? Mishum Desvirale Dahachi Helchasa. Because he feels that's the law. Even though we see in the Gemara that they send the message to Avuah de Shmuel about forcing the guy to eat matzah, right? And we have Rava, apparently he has Rava in some of this also, that say that you don't need kavana. Hilchasak Rabbi Zera, the law follows Rabbi Zera. The pligi beit hanoi beperkar beipsachim gaba yirakos. They have this discussion in Psachim. I didn't bring it here on your sheet because I felt we had enough primary material already with the Gemara and Rosh Hashanah. But they talk about it regarding the Seder. When you have karpas, if you use a vegetable that theoretically could qualify as maror, why don't I say you fulfilled maror already? Well, I didn't have kavana for maror. Yeah, but if Mitzvah Saint Tzvichos Kavana, then it doesn't matter. You fulfilled them both in one shot. You did your mar already when you did the karpas. So he says, you in fact have that machlokas there. Ube'idach b'raisa, Tanya, and then the additional b'raisa that they bring, we have a b'raisa that says, Rabbi Yossi Omer, af apisha tava b'chazeres, even though the guy used chazeres for karpas, mitzvah lahavio lavi lefanav chazeres v'charoses, you do the maror again with the charoses later on in the Seder. V'diyekasam delav mishum akera detinokos ka'amar, midikamar mitzvah. And the Gemara explains, he's not saying do that just so that we dip twice to get the kid to notice. It's because you have to fulfill maror still. You didn't fulfill maror the first time. Ela de mitzvos tzrichos kavana. The reason is because mitzvos require kavana. V'achinami kam Rav Yossi v'shmaisin, and that's what Rav Yossi said. We saw it here in the end of source Aleph. The yachad lo yatsa ad sheiskaben shomea umashmia. You need to have the person blowing, have him in mind, and the person listening. And so Rav Yossi says you need kavana. And the rule is Rav Yossi nimuko imo. The Gemara in Gittin says whenever Rav Yossi says something, azoish, that's the halacha. That's what we do. V'chem pasek bahag, and so ruled the bahag. So the Rif is following Rabbi Zera. The Rush seems to be following Rabbi Zera by bringing this. The bahag does as well. The Ramban and the Malchamos on the Rif also says that says this, and as we'll see, the Rambam does in Shofar, so rules the Beis Yosef in Hilcha Shofar, and so rules the Shulchan Aruch. However, the Beis Yosef notes that some disagree. The Rashba, for one, it disagrees. Take a look at Source Vav. Hadi Rabbi Zera lo pligi ahanach amoroi. He takes the view that we mentioned earlier from the Ran, right? The Rabbi Zera didn't mean you have to have kavana for the mitzvah. Rabbi Zera meant you have to have kavana to perform the mitzvah action. That's all it is. That's all he wants. He also wants that you shouldn't have negative kavana, but we'll come back to that. And Rabbeinu Yona brings this as well in the classic case in Brachos, where a person thinks he's making a bracha of Bar Pri Hagafen and then ends up with a shahakol. So what kavana did he have in the beginning, and whether that's okay? So far what we have is an apparent machlokas Rav and Rabbi Zera on whether you need kavana regarding eating matzah, regarding hearing shofar. We didn't really get into it regarding matzah. It's really more regarding shofar. The poskim seem to follow Rabbi Zera, except for those who think that it's not a machlokas at all. How did the Rambam rule? The answer is the Rambam ruled both ways. Why follow one shita? You could always follow more. Take a look at what the Rambam did. Source Zion, bottom of the first side. Regarding shofar, hamas asik b'tkias shofar lehislamed. Okay, you're blowing shofar, just making sounds, trying to learn how to blow, so you're not having any kavana for any mitzvah. Lo yatzei yidei chovaso, doesn't work. V'chein hashomea minamas asik lo yatzei, and the listeners aren't yotzei either. Niskavin shomea latzeis yidei chovaso v'lo niskavin hatokeya lo tzio. If the shomea has kavana to fulfill his obligation, but the mashmia does not, or the mashmia has, but the shomea does not have. No good. So from here it sounds like the Rambam says you need kavana, right? So far so good. We can agree. Well, flip the page and take a look at what he has to say regarding matzah. Acha matzah below kavana kigoncha and suhu goyim olistim lechol. You were forced into eating matzah, you're still yotze. What happened to your kavana requirement? The Rambam in Shofar says we need kavana. The Rambam in matzah says we do not need kavana. So the Ran offers one explanation. This is a classic. And his explanation is shekei nene. It's just like a guy who eats treif, misasek. Right? He can say, I was misasek, I didn't intend it from today until tomorrow. You know what? Your stomach ate treif. That's good enough for me. They also mention it regarding Arayos. He was involved in an inappropriate act. He was involved in an inappropriate act. I don't care what his kavana was. And so the Ran says the same thing is true here regarding matzah. Kavana is irrelevant when the body benefits. That's one explanation. The Magid Mishnah offers a different approach. If you take a look at source tests, the Magid Mishnah says, V'ulai, perhaps the reason why the Rambam rules for matzah that you don't need kavana, but shofar you do. Shekevan she'ein adam osem ma'ase b'tkias shofar, ela hashmia. He says, when you deal with shofar, there's no deed. You're just hearing somebody blow shofar. Vafilu hatokeya ikaro hashmia. Even the person blowing, right? We say the bracha lishmoa, call shofar. Really, the essence is the hearing. L'fichach, therefore, tzarech kavana, you need kavana. Mashein kein ba'achilas matzah, as opposed to when it comes to eating matzah. There, you did an action. V'rabba u'sheish v'dinan, it was Rabba, I think we have Rabba, in our Gemara, who equated shofar and matzah. Ulefichach diktekuva amru alma kasava rabba or rabba mitzvah sein tzrichas kavana. There, that's why in the Gemara they said, we see that Rabba believes that mitzvahs don't require kavana. Go back for a second to the first slide. Let me show you what he means. We started out in source Aleph with Shmuel's father on matzah. Then we brought in Rava about blowing shofar musically. And we said, you see, Rava says mitzvahs ein tzrichas kavana. Why didn't we say that after the matzah line? About being forced to eat matzah. So the Magid Mishnah says, because there's no raya from the matzah. There's not, you can't prove me anything from the matzah. It's Rava who says, I'm gonna link the two. Rava says mitzvah ein tzrichas kavana. V'lo diktiku kein mehahi dekafuhu v'achol matzah. They didn't deduce it from the matzah case. So the Magid Mishnah's resolution for the Rambam is to say the Rambam rules regarding shofar that you need kavana because there's no action. Whereas regarding matzah, you don't need kavana because there is no because you have an action. The action takes the place of kavana. That's another way to look at it. That's the Magid Mishnah's explanation. We have a similar idea in Rabbeinu Yonah. The problem with this is just when you read our Gemara, it doesn't work. And the Pri Chadash is the one who challenges this. And I liked it so much, I retyped it. He says, V'yesh l'smoa bazeh, source Yud. He says, first he quotes you the Magid Mishnah's explanation, and he says, you got to be shocked by this one. Why? Because remember the Gemara's challenges that we took the time to go through? The Gemara's challenges to the views of Tzricha Kavana and Ein Tzricha Kavana? He says, the Gemara mosvinan, l'mandar mitzvahs einan tzrichos kavana. According to the view that says you don't need kavana, they challenged it, mimas nisan deperak hayakari vatara, from the case of disnan hayakari v'yigiyaz manamikram kiven libo yatsa, the person who is learning Torah, and the time comes for Shema, and you're only yotze if you have kavana. So they said, aha, see that? You're only yotze if you have kavana. Doesn't that show that mitzvahs need kavana? He says, ma'ilavim kiven libo yatsa, right, that was the question. V'itztrachinan lo'okme v'kari la'giyah, and they had to say, well, it's when he's reading in order to edit the text, olufizeh, but according to your approach, that where there's no deed involved, then kavana is needed. You could have just answered, "Logwi masnisin kapashto de kiven libo latzes, v'atami shum de lo avin maisa ela amira." Don't change the case. His kavana is kore lagia and all that. No, the kavana is normal because he's not doing a deed. All he's doing is reciting words. That doesn't count as a deed. You see his problem? He says, you're trying to justify the Rambam's position, right? You're trying to justify the statement that the Rambam only requires kavana where there is no deed. Well, then why were they surprised that you would need kavana for Kriya Shema? There's no deed. That would be entirely consistent with your understanding. And further, they talk about the guy who's traveling behind the shul, lives next to the shul, and he hears the shofar blast. But again, there's no action involved. Of course you require kavana. If you're telling me that cases that don't have deeds are an exception to the rule, then the Gemara should not have brought me any proofs from cases where there are no deeds. That's the Prichadash's challenge to the Magid Mishnah, which made such total sense that I had to retype it because it was too good to not bring verbatim. So that's a challenge there. So again, recap: we have Rava apparently versus Rabbi Zera on whether you need kavana, right? We know forced matzah your yotze. The question is, do I go from there to blowing shofar for music? Rava says that yes, we extrapolate, Rava says you are yotze with forced kavana. We extrapolate from the matzah because mitzvahs don't require kavana. Rabbi Zera says to his servant, blow the shofar for me with kavana, indicating Rabbi Zera believes that you do require kavana, unless you take this side view that the Ran mentions and that the Rashba mentions, then maybe Rabbi Zera didn't require kavana for the mitzvah, just kavana to make the proper sound. The poskim generally say it is a machlokas, and they generally follow the view of Rabbi Zera because Rabbi Yossi is in the same camp, that we require kavana. Why does the Rambam not require kavana for matzah then? He does for shofar, either because of hana, you're getting physical hana by the matzah, that's why I don't require kavana, Or because in the matzah case there's a physical action that replaces kavana. And then we challenge that based on the cases they brought in the Gemara, which did not involve an action, and yet we use them to challenge the matzah thing. Okay. Now we get four cases that come under the heading of Od Be'inyan Mitzvahs Tvichas Kavana. Four different issues. Issue number one. Do you have to express your Kavana? Is it sufficient for me to have Kavana if I don't actually say anything? So the Minchas Chinuch asks that. And he quotes for us a discussion in Tosus. He doesn't quote this Tosus, he quotes a different one. But take a look at Source Yud Aleph. This is regarding Shlichus Yad, right? You're a shomer, and someone leaves the item with you, and you decide, I'm going to use it, and then something happens to it. You're responsible. So the question is, what does that mean, you thought to use it? You thought you were going to move it, whatever it is. So Tosus says, HaChoshev L'Shlach Yad in Source Yud Aleph, Hach Machshava Havi Dibur. It doesn't just mean you thought. You had to verbalize it. Kidiyalif may al kol devar pesha al shor, etc. in the Gemara. V'chein machsheves pigul nami havi bedibur velo belev. When the Torah talks about pigul, right? You did the you went all the way through Zvachim. So I hope that this was clear at some point in the Masechta. When we talk about having thoughts of pigul with a karbon, there has to be a verbal expression of it. Otherwise, it's not pigul. If after the Kohen finished the avoda, he says, I was thinking something about tomorrow, that's not pigul. He had to have actually made a declaration according to Tosfos. Rashi learns this from a Sifri, I think. And the reason I say that, take a look at the Rashi, Source Yud Beis. The Pasuk in Devarim, Lo Sisbach L'Shem Alokecha Shor Vaseh Sheyeh Bo Mum Kol Davar Ra. Don't shech any bad thing. Azhara L'mefagil B'kachim Al Yedei Dibur Ra. It's a warning for the one who would do pigul with bad speech. I'll call dava ra, dibur ra. So I saw this in an edition of Mikras Gedolos, which said it was in a Sifri, and it even gave you chapter and verse, so to speak, for the Sifri. I went looking. I couldn't find it in the editions of the Sifri that I had. So I don't know. But that's the statement here. Dibur ra, with speech. So this seems to suggest that your kavana would need to be expressed. Your kavana for the mitzvah. It's not enough that you're just thinking, I'm doing this for the mitzvah. How, which by the way would then buttress the idea of the L'shem Yichud type of formulation, or the Hineni Muchan type of a formulation. And L'shem Yichuds are said for other reasons, but at least the Hineni.
Both for Averas, by the way.
That's true. Those are both Averas. Maybe you shouldn't be able to extrapolate. Maybe. The Rambam, even by Averos, doesn't seem to require it at all. Take a look at Yud Gimel. The Rambam, when he presents Hilchos Pigul, says, by the way, the passage that I quoted from the Tosef of Metzia comes from the Mishneh LeMelech there. I think the Rashi also comes from the Mishneh LeMelech there in Tzulei Mukdash and Yud Gimel Aleph. Shalosh Machshavos Hein Sheposlenes HaKorbanos Ve'elu Hein. Machsheves Shinoi Hashem, Machsheves Hamako, Machsheves Hazman, right? Three different thoughts disqualify a karban. If a thought for the wrong type of a karban, thought of the wrong place, or the wrong time. And then he walks you through it, and he gives you the first example of Shinoi Hashem. We're not going to read it all out loud now. The point is only he mentions nothing about speech. And the Mishnah Lamelech understands that it's actually a machlokes, Rishonim, as to whether speech is required or not. Second point. Is what about negative kavana? The Beis Yosef quotes the Ra'ah. If you take a look at Source Yadalid, V'Ra'ah Omer Shafilut Soveach She'eno Rotza Latzeis Yidei Osa Mitzvah Yatza. Not only do I not need positive kavana, negative kavana is irrelevant. The V'Chizek Svar Zubarayos Peperush Psachim Gabekaf Uhu Arsiim V'Acha Matzah. He brought all sorts of proofs regarding this on the sugya of where the guy was forced by the Parsiim to eat matzah. Because again, that's what I emphasized when we first read it. It sounds like he's being forced against his will. He's saying, I don't want to eat matzah. And yet he's Yotzei. So negative kavana doesn't work. So imagine that. I'm working on a college campus, I'm doing kiruv, and I build a sukkah, and no one's coming into my sukkah. So what do? I lay a trap. Right? With a rope. I pull people into the sukkah. I force food in their mouths and I say, presto, you fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah. That's apparently the way it works. Kafu Yehudim. But the Beis Yosef continues to say, I wrote, Rav Rabbeinu Yonah, Hevi Diver Rabbeinu Shmuel, Mashma Desvir Lei Kavasei, Vekevin Shkendel Chashin LeDevei HaRa'ah Bazeh. That Rabbeinu Yonah quotes a Rabbeinu Shmuel, in Brachos he does this, who disagrees and says no. Negative Kavana is significant. Rabbeinu Yerucham rules that as well. Then what do I do about Kafuhu V'achal Matzah? So they suggest it's where the Jew doesn't know it's matzah. The Jew is not refusing because it's matzah. It's not, I don't want to do a mitzvah, and my Persian friends are forcing me to do a mitzvah. I'm refusing, maybe because I think it's chametz. It's Pesach, don't force me to eat them. And I realize they're actually giving me matzah. It's where my refusal is not tied to the mitzvah. So that's a second point. Negative kavana, we generally assume, does cancel the mitzvah, I think, despite this view of the ra'ah. Okay. A third point. Is kavana necessary regarding a lav hanitak la'aseh? If you take a look on your michas chinuch, not on your sheet, it's michas chinuch itself. Sifka and Tesva. Specifically the paragraph V'nir Ali, which is on page Ayin Beis. Chava. V'nir Ali is in the upper part of the outside column on page Ayin Beis. This is a fascinating question he asks. I love this. He says, V'nir Ali, it appears to me, D'balav hanitak la'aseh, v'kiyem ha'aseh. All right, you have a lav hanitak la'aseh. You stole, and now you have to return what you stole, or you left over the Korban Pesach, and now you have to burn the nosa. Right. So if you fulfill the aseh, afilu kiven beferush lalatzeis. Even if you fulfill the aseh with negative kavana, and even if we say that negative kavana does contravene performance of the mitzvah, does disqualify the mitzvah ordinarily, nonetheless, you're not going to get malchus for the los asei. The los asei is successfully cut off. Kevin de kiyei ma'asei, because you fulfilled the asei. V'chia gavna lo boi kavana b'diyavet. After the fact, will not require kavana. How can I prove that? V'raya mitamura, from the case of tamura. Right? By tamura, lo yachlifenu v'lo yamiro so is your los asei. Your asay is v'hayahu usmuraso yiyah kodesh. It becomes kodesh. He says, "Look, the lav machmas ta'amim hamavuarim b'tzmura havilei lav anita klasei." Theoretically, that should be a lav anita klasei. The only reason it's not is because it has a quirk, because it has two los asays and only one asay. Or we have all these different explanations in the Rambam in the beginning of Hachos Tamura as to why it's not a lav anita klasei. But fundamentally, from a mechanics perspective, it is a lav anita klasei, and yet. There's no issue of kavana there. It becomes kodesh on its own. It's automatic. So you see that kavana is not necessary for the assay that we would not take a lav. There, kavana is irrelevant by lav anita klase. That was a third point. So again, of our points that we're just adding on here, number one, need kavana be expressed seems to be a machlokas rishonim. Does negative kavana work is also a machlokas rishonim, but it seems that we pass into that negative kavana will thwart the mitzvah. However, when it comes to lav anita klase, negative kavana will not thwart the mitzvah. Now we get to the last point, and this was actually the part that most made me want to use this tonight. I really enjoyed this. Take a look at the Minchas Chinuch Va'ayin, back on the previous side. Va'ayin Primagadim at the bottom of the Amud. He deals with the case of Asei Docha Lo Sasei. You remember that a couple of Shiurim, we quoted the Shagas Aryeh in the issue of eating a matzah shel iser, right? We said that you're not allowed to eat, ordinarily, matzah from something that's aser. However, Pesach night, you have a mitzvah, so therefore the asay will override the los asay. Right? That was the statement of the Shagas Aryeh. So, what if... Well, read it in here. It's too good to do outside. Vayim prima god mechos kriya shema sim and samach eshel avram sivka and gimel. Mesupak in mitzvahs tvichos kavana humin hatorah umak urak midrabanan. Okay? He says the fundamental question that Prima Gadim there asks is whether mitzvahs require kavana midiraisa or only midirabanan. uvamezidim lo niskavein af min atara lo yatsa, such that we would say if it's if you did it intentionally without kavana, you didn't fulfill your obligation. Right? That's his fundamental question, which is what we're going to go into. But now jump to his nafkamina. His nafkamina is, hang on. I want to make sure I... Yeah, it's the bottom, very last three words on Ayin Aleph. Im lo niskavein, he didn't have kavana when he first ate the matzah. Okay? V'achar zen is damna lo matzah shel iser begavna da'aseh do'chalos da'aseh. After missing it the first time, then he has an opportunity to eat matzah shel iser. Such that the Shagas Aryeh would say, all other things being equal, aseh do'chalos da'aseh. But I already did the mitzvah, just without kavana. Im min ha-Torah lo yatsa kodem, if biblically he did not fulfill his obligation the first time, im kein tzarech lechol ha-Isser da'aseh do'chalos da'aseh. Right? Ah, im min derabbanan lo yatsa, but if it's only derabbanan that he hasn't fulfilled, then ein docha, the aseh will not override the los aseh. His only remaining aseh is fundamentally derabbanan. That's his challenge, which I thought was just great. Very clever. And then he says, even according to Tosfos, that one who misses a derabbanan part of a mitzvah does not fulfill the mitzvah, even to oraisa, that may not be to the extent of saying, and the aseh will still override the los aseh. He says, I'm still in doubt. Even according to Tosfos, who says that if you intentionally miss a derabbanan part of a mitzvah, then you don't even fulfill it midi'oraisa. Mikamakum efshar de litchos achar kach iser eino yachol. I might still say that the remaining aseh is not strong enough to override a los aseh. Vitzarech yun. So he says that requires examination. So we're not going to resolve that question of aseh docha los aseh. But I do want to ask the question, is this de'oraisa or de'rabana? This requirement of kavana. So the Mabit in his Kiryas Sefer and Hilchos Shofar Perek Beis says without support, just like that. Yeah, it's a derabanan. The Imre Bina on the Terei Evin Chagiga quotes the Prima Gadin, which was quoted here as well, that it's derabanan. But then the Imre Bina challenges this idea. The Imre Bina is a little footnote on the bottom of the Terei Evin. It's on Chagiga Vavim at Aleph. And I really enjoyed it, so I brought it here in Tesvav. He challenges this idea that the Prima Gadim presented. Take a look, please, at Tesvav. Ve'isi b'machabrim she'isigu ala Prima Gadim. I've seen those who challenge the Prima Gadim with his statement that it's derabanan. Ve'ochichu mishas de Rosh Hashanah. From our Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, that little piece that I brought you about Bal Tosef when you sleep in the sukkah on the eighth day. He says, "V'richum mishas to Rosh Hashanah de parich elameata ayashim b'shmini b'sukkah yilake." That we said that if a person sleeps in the sukkah on day 8, he should get malchus. Mavur de mitzvos tzrichos kavana asi shapir. So he says it's clear from there that if you're going to tell me that mitzvos require kavana, that makes sense, right? That's the Gemara brought it for, right? However, and that's why you're not getting malchus. But if you're going to tell me that the whole need for kavana is only derabanan, and midi oraisa you do fulfill the mitzvah even without kavana, then the guy who sleeps in the sukkah without any attempt whatsoever is still over on Baltosif on a Doraisa level. V'chein mishas perakamotzei tefillin. The Gemara in Erevin talks about transporting tefillin two pairs at a time. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel sober the machnis shnayim. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, put on two pairs. Hol the mitzvah tzvichos kavana ain't over Baltosif. Kishu osa behad der kavana. You're not trying to do the mitzvah, therefore you're yotzei. Mochiach gamkein dim midor raisa boy kavana dim lo kein over midor raisa baltosif, right? Logical enough. Veli nira de'ain kan hochacha l'mashikasa tosva sukkah, and he says, don't try to mess with me by quoting that tosis in sukkah, which the Minchas Chinuch talked about before, that you don't fulfill the mitzvah if you're missing some derabbanan part of it. Don't bring me that. There's no raya for that from our discussion. I'm not going to walk you through that because I want to get to a better part. He brings one possible source that it's de'oraisa. He quotes something from a sefer called Zichru Taras Moshe, which was written by the Chayei Adam, quoting, if I remember the reading it right, the Sefer Charedim, that even if we hold that you don't need kavana to fulfill the mitzvah, one who does a mitzvah without kavana is mevatel an aseh. What's the aseh? Ula avdo b'chol levavchem. That's your source for needing kavana, mide oraisa. It's a remarkable idea, no? Lavdo b'chol levavchem teaches me that mitzvahs in general require kavana. It's not in the part that I wrote on the sheet. I didn't bring it on there. The Imre Bina himself disagrees with the idea, because he says if that were really true, then it would be a mitzvah ba'avera, right? If you're really mevatel an aseh by doing it without kavana, an aseh de'oraisa ulavdo b'chol levavchem, then it's mitzvah ba'avera, and it should disqualify the mitzvah. You see his argument? Further, he says, the discussion in the Gemara is mitzvos tzrichos kavana or ein tzrichos kavana. It sounds like it's not about a separate mitzvah of have kavana when you serve Hashem. That act itself needs or doesn't need kavana. But perhaps that's actually the machlokes about whether this is deraisa or derabanan. Is ula avdo b'chol levavchem a general klal for mitzvos, such that if you lack it, you're mevatel and aseh, and in fact you're not yotze? Or do we say that even if you you didn't do it with kavana, the pasuk is not for this purpose? That's not what this pasuk is for. But it's a very interesting idea that ulo'avdo b'chol levavchem should be my source for mitzvah tzrichas kavana. It's a little too unique for my liking. Like the Gemara should have said something if that was really what we're talking about. But it's fascinating this idea. So again, we have this potential machlokas Rav and Rabbi Zera about whether kavana is required or not. We principally in the discussion regarding musical shofar and misasek blowing shofar, the post can either decide that Rabbi Zera and Rava are not disagreeing. The question Rabbi Zera required not kavana for the mitzvah, but kavana for the physical action of doing this thing. Most posts can believe it is a machlokas and follow the view that says that that we do require kavana. The Rambam said you require kavana regarding shofar. Regarding masa, he did not, either because you're getting benefit from it, and that's good enough, or because there's an action involved, and that takes the place of kavana, for which we challenged it and said, well, then why did the Gemara try to bring proof from cases that don't involve an action? Everybody would agree that you require kavana there. Then we said that the kavana perhaps needs to be expressed. Perhaps if we could bring a proof from the Averos of Pigul and Shaleach Yad and all that, and from specifically those views there that require Kavana, we say negative Kavana might well cancel out the mitzvah, and don't bring me proof from the guy who was forced to eat matzah. In the case of a Lavanita Klasei, the aseh performed even with negative Kavana is menatek the lav, it does cut off the lav. And then finally, we brought in through the Menchas Chinuch the question of whether mitzvah tzrichas kavana is deraisa or derabanan. And he asked the question of, if I did it first without kavana, do I have enough of an asay left to override a los asay? The machlokas itself, of whether it's derabanan or deraisa, it seems to be resolved that it's derabanan. That's the view of the Prima Gadim, that's the view of the Mabit. However, there is this possibility that it's deraisa from ulo avdo v'chol levavchem. Pick up, God willing, after Pesach with Mitzvah Yud Aleph.